Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it. The Big Ten, and also the ACC.
Those are the schools they get a chance. But they get a chance to play an SEC opponent. That opponent is Mississippi State University in baseball. So I mentioned earlier I was down there supporting, the score was 10-0. So we actually want to make sure we can share some thoughts about that. Is it possible? And we have talked about this. And also, before I move forward, we have Coach Edwards back with us as well. Coach Edwards, thank you for calling us back so you can be with us and be a part of our show like we do every Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Glad to be here, sir.
Okay. I wanted us to just take a minute, even though we got some things that we want to address. Co-host, how do you feel about ASU taking that approach, getting those part of the Big Five or the SEC or any other conference, major conference, coming to your town and play you? Can I get some thought on that?
I'd like to chime in right away, Daryl E. Let me tell you something. The school can use the money if money be the key to end all the woes, but the injuries, the possibility of the injuries could affect the rest of the season. That's the short story for me.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. They haven't even gotten the sweat play, and we're already playing Mississippi State. Usually you play games like this for revenue, but I really don't believe it brought in a lot of money. The advertisement for the game was there. It's just, this is not a baseball town. Even when the biscuits play, it's almost, you know, impossible to get a large crowd out every home game. So it's not been a baseball state, a baseball concentration. That kind of it took more money to advertise than it actually made. So that's my thoughts on that.
I apologize. I thought we were speaking on football, and I realize now, Coach Smith, you were talking about baseball.
Okay.
Let me chime back in if you don't mind. I have
to
go down the road. I had to go down the road with a young millennial. She's absolutely right, spot on. You know, baseball is not turning a high revenue pitch for it. Maybe the come out on this is just exposure, especially if ASU could go in there and win against them, you know, in a big way. You know, that would be, you know, media exposure and bring some exposure to the team in that respect. That would be my short story on that.
Okay.
Let me chime in. This is Coach Tremaine. That was right quick. I'd like to say this. I don't think it has anything to do with who you're playing. I think it has a lot to do with the venue you're playing in. If you have an excellent venue, I think the teams will come, point blank. If you had a Ruderpoop Stadium, they will not come. But if a team comes to you, like I say, a Mississippi State, or, you know, in the SWAT purposes, a Murray State would be good, a Middle Tennessee State will be good. I don't think we should jump in with the elite D1 teams. The Mississippi States, I think that's a little too large for us. The Auburns, that's too large for us. I think we need to start with the smaller schools.
All right. And when we look at it, I think it's only different than I think Dara mentioned, and even though we are talking about baseball, but I think we got a combination of both things going on here, whether it's to the venue being in a good position to bring in a Auburn University football program or Auburn University basketball program. I'm just using Auburn, for example. It could be the University of Alabama. Even though it's baseball, I think when they classify themselves as Division I, and we have to remove this from our minds, Alabama State plays Division I in everything except football. Everything else is Division I, just like Auburn and Alabama. They pay the same amount of fee, and they have to meet the same requirements to make it to these tournaments and these championships. So the bottom line is we may not be there, but to take a step like the baseball did tonight, take a step like the basketball did about 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago when Auburn came to Montgomery. They came to Montgomery, and I think that's what – yeah, it's good for us to go out like Alabama State is going to Auburn the second week of the football season. And, yeah, they're going to get $500,000. They're going to get – you know, they ain't hard money. But my thought is it got to be where you can get them to come to your complex. I'm not saying that's going to happen right now, but why not have a dream that you eventually can get them there? And baseball is taking a giant step. So I applaud them for making that effort and getting Mississippi State to come. Like you said, the venue, the Biscuit Stadium, was a professional field, professional venue. So they're willing to come. They didn't come to Alabama State, which I think they have a nice complex as well. They have a just recently built. But having it at the Biscuit Stadium allows the Biscuit to be the one that promotes this. And that's what it was. The city of Montgomery and the Biscuit was the ones that promoted this and wanted to see this happen. So they made it happen. So it had to be more sponsorship like that, I believe, to make sure we can get those schools to come and compete. And it's a lot of things, some positives, some negatives goes along that, but I think you got a better opportunity when you're always on the road and getting your brain beat out. And sometimes you have to put them at a discomfort. You may not beat them, but you can discomfort them enough to let them know that we're ready to play whatever level we need to play. That's just my thought on it, and it's not to lock in and do all, whatever you want to call it. It's just my thoughts in regards to that. I want to move to something else, if you allow me. I just wanted to mention that. On one of our topics that's listed here, college wastes too much money on sports programs. I'd like to get y'all thoughts. What do you think? Callers, I want you to call in, and call in number is 347-857-4192. You can call in and share your thoughts as well. And when you call in, press 1. I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to tell me your name and your location. Co-host, what do you think about colleges wasting too much money on sports programs?
Darryl E. Well, here we go. When you say wasting too much money, I guess it depends on the college. You know, a lot of colleges make a lot of money off of their sports program, and it takes a lot of money to operate it. Now, you and the rest of the co-hosts on the line here may be able to tell me more about what you consider to be a waste. But the reality is I see some colleges doing some excellent marketing. And now, as far as marketing their college and their college sports, I should say, I see them doing some excellent marketing. And because of that, I have my hats off to about 6 different colleges that I could name that I see are doing an excellent job in terms of advertising and getting the dollars in. But they also have top-notch sports programs. So that's my contribution in that. Now, maybe there are some others, and you guys can probably shed some light on that. So I'll hush and let you talk now.
Okay.
Tremaine, that was here. I'm going to say this with that situation. I think they not necessarily waste money. I think it's the breadwinner of universities. College basketball, college football, all depend on themselves to make money. So to say that they're wasting money, I can't see that. They're doing all they can to get people to games, and the best thing to get people to games, if you're trying to make some money, is winning games. So I can't see any programs just wasting money. I see them accumulating a lot of money, and they fund the schools. That's what people are looking at with schools most of the times. Your sports band are things that attract people to your school. That's all I got for that situation right there.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, I don't think they're wasting money. Now, some sports, in my opinion, should be advertised a little more. If we're going to talk about right here in Montgomery, Alabama, football and basketball at Alabama State is highlighted way more than track and field, bowling, tennis, soccer. And those programs I just named that are not being highlighted have won the most championships for the school. So I'm not talking about wasting money for the program, but, you know, I think advertising sports, in my opinion, aren't making you any money. Really aren't bringing any fans out. I think they need to, rethink that. But I don't think it's a waste of money.
And I'm just going to sort of like add on to this. I don't think when you're doing something that's going to help young people succeed, it's a waste, whether it's at the middle school, high school, or college level. Sports is the core extracurricular activities when you're dealing with the secondary level and the elementary level. It is an outlet for young people to learn several things, and everybody here, whether you've been, you know, a player, whether you've been associated with the team, you know that young people that participate in sports, one thing, learn how to work with other people, called teamwork. The same teamwork you have to have on a job. No matter what job you have, you got to work teamwork. So my point, that's just one thing. It's other thing, leadership, we can call out. So my thing, it's not a waste when you go out. Whether you win, lose, or draw, you have an opportunity to gain something from that. We put so much on winning. I think that's the biggest thing. We put so much on winning that we forget about the underlying part of it. That is that these young people have an opportunity to come out and be very successful when they've been associated with sports, college sports, whatever it may be. So my point to that is that it's not a waste. It's an opportunity because so many other things come out. Now, just to kind of step just a little bit, and I'm gonna kind of step aside and let the co-host kind of add to this right here. It was a statement made about marketing. One of the biggest things that I think has occurred, and now, since we always talk about historical black colleges, we're going to continue to talk. We're not going to talk about the Auburn and Alabama because, you know, they got their thing in there. But, for example, Alabama State University moved from using Russell Corporation. As you know, Russell, used to be Russell Mill, but Russell Corporation is all over the country with sports stuff, to moving to, if I'm not mistaken, they're moving to Nike as their sponsor, just like the University of Alabama. And you know how much money Nike puts in those programs. They put a lot in the help because you wearing their product, you are a promoter for Nike. Just get your thoughts on that. Is that a good idea to go away from should every historical black college make sure they get that link with those venues like Nike, Adidas, Under Armour? I just want y'all thoughts on that, to help marketing.
I bust in there. This is Coach Tremaine. That was, if Alabama State has win Nike, the two schools in the SWAC that's from Alabama, they're Nike companies. Alabama A&M has also win Nike, went away from Russell. I don't know what happened with the SWAC because, like you said last year, Russell was the SWAC company. I mean, when nobody, everybody in the SWAC was wearing Russell. Didn't matter what kind of jersey you had or anything. It was Russell. With that, I don't know if they're getting money, kickback from it or whatnot. But I'm with you right there, Coach Smith. We're both Nike teams right now. It looks good to see that check on the black school. But like I said, it has to be a kickback from it. Because Russell, I look at it from my team sport. When we order our stuff, I try to stay with the Russells and lower brand, the regular brand, the Badgers, you know, the regular brands. I don't like to get my kids caught up on that check or the Adidas sign or the Reebok sign. I don't like to get them caught up on it. I like to, you know, you build your brand. I mean, if you win it, this look good across your chest. It don't matter what it say, as long as it got it. You know what I'm saying? A brand check. Now, like I said, that's gonna go for your sweat team too. If you're winning, that Nike looks good. If you're losing, it's a waste of money. And Nike thinks like that. So this is, I think, is a test for the sweat company. I think, if I'm not wrong, I think everyone in the SWAC will have on Nike this year.
All right.
Daryl E.
Other thoughts
here we go, Coach Daryl E. It's easy for a school to migrate to a different marketing plan. Nike has a brand and a name, a brand name, much huger than Russell worldwide outside of sports. Even though they are a sports brand, Nike is bigger than Russell, so you have that contention for the school. And also, they have more resources than Russell. So there are many things outside of just wearing the clothing and the paraphernalia that Russell probably can do for the sports program, including helping them marketing. Probably have more marketing dollars than Russell could ever kick back for wearing those jerseys, just in one respect that. And that's my two cents on that.
That's some extra two cents right there.
I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but what we do with my AAU team is we try to see from the success from the previous year to see who we gonna get. So if we were God awful the year before that, we're not getting any Nike. We'll politely get some Under Armour shoes or politely find some Adidas shoes, something that's not as high in price, because this is how I think. Why you got all that on and you still, in my opinion, you still trash? Like, you still hot garbage. Why are you advertising that and you still hot garbage? If you go 4-6 this year or something like that, in 2 years, Nike going to pull back their endorsement, because that's all it is an endorsement. So Nike going to pull the endorsement back. Same with basketball. Basketball, you don't win, you lose more than you win, they're going to pull it back. The only reason I think they should have got Nike is for their track program, track and tennis. I think that might have drawn the Nike people on there and say, yeah, we're going to get a contract for shots. But anything else, I don't see it.
And each of y'all have shared some great points in regards to that. And let me kind of make it even bigger than what it is. One thing Nike does, when you sign a contract with Nike, every product in regards to athletic comes associated with your school has to be Nike. And that means that stuff sold in these stores now, which is Walmart, has to be pulled from the shelf. Everything they got out of the state, pulled from the shelf of Walmart, and only with the swoosh on it or the check on it will be in that store. So, right, that's marketing. That's going to be marketing. And that means that only with Russell being locked in here, where are the alumni that making a request for things will go in that area available to be sold because of Nike. So the arms are a lot longer with Nike than with Russell. The arms are so much longer. And I'll just add this. It don't really matter with Nike. In that case, a lot of schools on part of the big five need to pull their Nike off, because some of them go 4-6, 6-6. You know, y'all know where I'm going now. Some of them don't win in basketball, but they still have that in. Nike is all about products being sold and marketed. So they're going to market those products. And ASU finally realized they need to get some of that money, because Russell was good, but Russell don't extend as far as Nike extends. And that could be available in people in California. When you're talking about alumni, they have one of the largest base alumni in California, but you can't get no ASU stuff out there. You had to come all the way to Alabama to get it when it was Russell. So that's what I see. You begin to stretch your arms a little wider. You know, good or bad or indifference, but it's a great opportunity. They need to have a name brand product, name brand representative that did it instead of Russell. Russell was good for locally, but you got to step out of that mold. That's just like attending that game tonight. For the time I was there, the two sponsors, well, I know one was there. That was Max Bank. And, you know, that's a step out of the norm. Max was one of the sponsors of it. And then we have State Farm. You have to kind of step out and use that marketing to benefit your school and your university. So sometimes it's just how you handle whatever you receive. All right.
Coach Miller, can I chime in right there for a second?
Now, with the Nike,
Russell still has rights to some of their stuff now. Even with Alabama, Russell has rights to Alabama stuff. It's just the quality is not there like as a Nike sweatshirt. Now, we have Russell, Alabama sweatshirts, but they're not on the level of a Nike sweatshirt. So as far as the stores, I don't think they will have to replenish, you know what I'm saying, everything, take away everything that says Russell. Because even with the Russell brand and the, let me see, Adidas, when A&M was Adidas at one point, we went off on a limb and we was Adidas. They were still selling the Adidas stuff in the stores, even though we had went Russell. So the company that has your stuff, they still have the rights to it. So you still will see a lot of Russell Alabama State shirts that will be in your stores. Because it's all about the quality of the store, too. Can't afford. I can't see these on-campus bookstores buying Nike stuff. I think they'll have some, but I don't think they will just load the whole store with Nike because they'll be sitting there. Because if a sweatshirt, a Russell sweatshirt costs $40, $50, I know a Nike costs $70 to $80 in a store.
Okay. Let me add this and then kind of paint another picture. When you deal with trademarks, when you deal with a brand, you determine who sells your thing. Since there's no longer a contract with Russell to sell anything associated with Alabama State University, they're going strictly Nike. So they're not going to be able to sell when that contract run out. They can't just start selling. That's just like with an organization, and I'll use a fraternity. We determine who sells ours, especially our logo now. I'm not talking about something with words on it, but when you're saying the logo, when you say your brand, whatever ASU said their brand is, if it's dealing with, I'm just saying that might be the problem right there. It has to be a brand. Whatever your brand or your logo is, only that one you get clear that if they sell it, they got to pay you. They got to pay you a large sum of money just to be able to sell it. So that's one of the other things that's going on, too. When you're dealing with marketing, it's kind of, you know, that's where we begin to move forward in the mindset that we ain't just caught up there just because Russell had the contract. When it's over with, they can't sell the product unless they get cleared from Alabama State University. So that's one of the other things that's dealing with this thing with Nike. This is another thing dealing with Nike. So Nike, when they go hard. You said University of Alabama have some stuff with Russell. They might be able to do it like that, but when you're trying to go and brand your stuff, you have to take some bite. You have to take some lumps. And the lump will be, I'm going to just go on with Nike because they just gave us $25 million. You know what I'm saying? They gave the university, I'm just saying, they gave them $25 million. They're going to make sure everything, wherever it is, in California, Alabama State got to be Nike. Can't be folks that come up with stuff unless you clear through the university. And that's what we're talking about, getting your patent and your trademark and all that. So that's just something to throw out and think about. But I know some other discussion on that, but we got a good format tonight and agenda. We're going to kind of move forward with some things if you allow us to do that. The next thing I want to do, and this touches the coaches, and I want coaches and just whoever it may be, it is this thing about not all great athletes can become good coaches. Agree or disagree? Co-hosts, do y'all agree or disagree with that? Not all great athletes can become good coaches.
Agreed. I agree with that statement. Tremaine Edwards here. I agree with that statement.
Okay, Coach, can you explain why you agree with that statement?
I look at the greatest to ever touch a basketball to me, Michael Jordan. He hasn't touched this eclipse in coaching. And I would think all the coaching that he does on the floor, I would think he would step on in there and do it. Kobe Bryant, number two. I mean, what is he waiting on? I mean, it was like Jason Kidd put the basketball down. He was a coach the next year. Time Derrick Fisher put the basketball down. He was a coach the next year. I don't know if they're waiting on, you know, something. But the greatest to ever play the game of basketball are just managing, and one is developing players.
Okay. okay? All right. Coach Smith, you want to add a little bit to that?
Well, I'll be the first to take I Daryl E. I'll chime in on you.
Okay.
You know, I saw. Well, let me get the name right now. Magic Johnson. I saw Magic Johnson for the first time. Try to be a sports commentator. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it.
And I said to myself then, I said, okay, so he can play basketball, but he's not a sports commentator. There's no kind of way should he be doing that. But that same thing applies to coaching. I mean, you got some players out there, that, and I won't name names, but some players out there who are not great leaders. They're great ball players, but they're not great leaders. They're not articulate, in my mind, enough to speak to a team and command the team. So I have to go with the guru, Coach Tremaine Edwards himself, and say I agree with him.
All right. That's great right there. Coach Smith. Have we lost Coach Smith?
Okay. I'm here.
She was on mute. Come on, get off. Come on there. Share your thoughts on that.
I was on mute.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I agree with him. You know, where I'm sitting at now, I went from playing to coaching. It took me 2 years, but I didn't rush into it. I see the floor a little different. I see it way different than I saw when I was playing. Now I'm coaching. So it's things that happened in a game. When I was playing, I couldn't really control it. But as a coach, I have an eye for it. I can pick it out, and I can dissect the defense. I can dissect the offense to make my guys adjust. And a lot of people don't have that instinct. And then you have some people who jump into it and they didn't develop a coaching mind. That's one thing that we have to address, that people just can't jump into it. You have to sit down, study. You have to really become a student of the game all over again. That's the part that a lot of people miss. You have to study the game from a different view. I can't study the game. I can't dissect the game how I was when I was playing, now that I'm coaching. For one, I don't have control of the game. The ball is not in my hands 90% of the time. I have to rely on guys to execute what I draw up or execute what I tell them. And it's a frustrating feel, and it's also a rewarding feel, but a lot of people just don't have the patience, the time, or the mind for it.
That's great, Coach. All right, we have a caller on here that wants to share.
Wait,
that.
Oh. Said that.
Caller,
5252. You may want to pass on that one.
Hey, I guess caller didn't want to talk. Hey, but that's all right. Coach Smith, Coach Edward, as well as Coach Darryl, he is sharing some thoughts. Now, this is my just prime example of somebody who you can say wasn't a great athlete, but is a GOAT. Everybody know that. Nick Saban. Prime example. Wasn't a great athlete. Too short to move to the next level of playing the game, but what is he doing coaching the game? Is that a good example? Co-host, would that be a good example? And you probably can think of many more. We gave examples of Michael Jordan, but what about Nick Saban? He was not the greatest player in the world, but he was GOAT.
I don't think it takes being a great player to be a great coach. And I just don't think it takes that. I think it takes know-how. I think it takes tenacity, temerity, and the wherewithal to understand how to coach. And not everybody has the gift of coaching, but I think he has the gift of coaching, and he has the gift of knowing how to recruit. So, yeah, Nick Saban, what I call a dynasty, I call a man who is a travesty in the respect of he has shut down so many people and has came through so many what I call stumbling blocks in the respect of what you just said, not being able to be a good player, but yet rose to the top of the cream and became one of the college's greatest coaches. That's my two cents.
Okay. All right. You want to add anything to that, coaches?
Yeah, I'm going to touch it right quick. Darryl, you said right there, Nick Saban, I know he wasn't the greatest of coaching, of player, but he's very knowledgeable of his subject matter, which is football, college football. And he's one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen doing it. And, you know, it's valid because, I mean, his turnover ratio every year, he's losing 6 to 7 coaches every year to go to other teams, to go to head coaching jobs and whatnot. And, you know, we're scrambling every year, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, I learned since the first year, I ain't going to worry about Nick Saban or him. So I'm not as worried about the coaches that's coming in because what's coming in is going to be elite. And he's attracting young minds that really know what they're doing. In basketball, you know, I look at like people like the Paterno, you know, the people like that, Calipari's, Krzyzewski. Mm-hmm. These guys weren't elite basketball players. They were mediocre guys that had an IQ for the game. You always had, and I learned this while coaching. I'm a basketball coach, but I excel in football. But I prefer to coach basketball. I mean, that's just me. But I always have that IQ guy that doesn't have the athletic ability to compete with these athletic guys. So, therefore, he has to transport his knowledge into these guys on the team. You always have that little guy on your team. It don't matter what team you have. You're going to have an IQ guy that can't move as fast or is not as strong as the guy in front of him, always. But his IQ for the game is excellent, but he can't execute what you need because of his ability. So that right there with the GOAT and coaching, I just think you don't have to have a high playing ability in the sport. It's all about the IQ in the sport to be successful in coaching.
That's great. Coach Smith, you got something you want to add to that?
No, everybody kind of said what I was thinking, and that's kind of rare. But like Tremaine said, you got to have a great IQ. You really do. Your IQ has to be off the wall because you have – it's things that happen within games that you have to really – it's like – on the hop, everything is you can't really plan what's going to happen in that game in that time. So, yeah, Nick Saban is an amazing coach. He's also an amazing recruiter. I call him Sweet James because he can talk you out your pants and out your shoes now. He said he's selling dreams, and these kids buying them, and they turn these dreams into reality. So that's another part of coaching that we have to kind of look at and respect. Calipari is not a good coach. I heard Coach Edwards say that. Calipari is not a good coach. Calipari is a good talent, and his coaching is going to really come into play next year. If he can really coach, we're going to see him next year.
And that's all right, Coach. That's great. All right, and let's move to about another topic that sort of like is kind of dear to me for sure. It says, should athletes be regarded as role models for children? And, you know, Charles Barkley did a commercial many years ago. It did something about, I'm not your role model, you know, and I don't protest to be your role model. Let your parent or someone close you to be a role model. And he's an athlete who competed at the highest level while he was there in the NBA, as well as Auburn. But he quick to tell you, I'm not your role model. So my thing is, how do you feel about this? Co-hosts, are athletes regarded to be role models for children, whether they're on the high school level or whether they're on the college level or on the professional level? Because you got some players in high school influence younger students. and vice versa. You know, got some on college in Florida, younger and younger or either high school, and then the pros influence all of them as well. But I want your thought in regards to should athletes be regarded as role models for children?
I want to jump in and throw my two cents in on that right quick, because the two geniuses on the other end of this phone line are going to have something even more eloquent to say other than what I say. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad you brought up the Charles Barkley. This is Daryl E. I'm glad you brought up the Charles Barkley situation, because to me, when Charles Barkley did that, it opened up the door for thugism, tattoos, and that whole letting me be me instead of me being a role model, instead of the suit and tie. Mm-hmm. It opened the door for all of that in the NBA. And now you see a lot more of, should I say, not so classy players. I think that they've gotten a rain on it. But you remember they had started. I remember the fight in the big arena when, you know, Chuck Person was in that. You know, he wasn't in the fight, but it was his team. And I just remember all those key things that were happening that turned the change in the NBA as the generational change became in this country. And, you know, and to me, some of the respect for the players went away and the conversation changed. When you go prior to Barkley, you know, to me, basketball was about a professional business, and people carried themselves in a professional way for the majority of it. But it seems now that it's just an element of the time now. It's still pro ball, but it's an element of the time. And I think Barkley was part of the catalyst to change the dynamicism of how the perception was made for basketball. That's my 2%. Y'all go on with that.
All right, come on, co-host. Give me some other. Give me 80%, 90%. All right, go ahead. Red on, coach.
Gotcha. I'm going to touch this. Tremaine that was talking here, I'm going to touch this right quick. I think anything's trending will be a role model for a kid nowadays. Even though Charles Barkley said that, it didn't stop people for saying, I want to be like Charles Barkley. I remember kids back in my day, I need to rebound like Charles Barkley. You know what I'm saying? And I had a bill. When I played basketball, I had a bill like Charles Barkley. So I used to focus on what he did and trying to make myself better. Let me just rebound and do some putbacks, you know. I don't need to shoot the three to lay down the crib. And now that I'm older, I'm like Barkley. I'm stepping out, shooting the three. I ain't going in there to bang. like Barkley and Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was another one. You know, back in his day, he tanned the rim down. He got later on in his career, you know, he slowed down. He stepped out and started shooting the three. That's point blank. But anything trendy will catch these kids' eye as far as role model. Anything. I don't care if it's music or whatnot. I mean, we sitting up here watching the music now. Anything trendy. If I'm a big time, like okay, I'm gonna give you an example. Look at the way the NBA All-Stars or the elite players dress. Look at the way they're dressing. They're making dressing like a fool the norm. And these kids are really taking to that, because, I mean, we go to, you know, college games, high school games. These kids are really walking around like them with pants that's too little. You know what I'm saying? Shirts that's too little. I mean, it's point blank. I mean, and look at this. Here go another thing. I'm going to give you this one, too, and then I'm going to step out. When Michael Jordan first started wearing the baggy shorts, that's when your shorts got bigger. Okay, now pay attention to this, Dr. Smith. LeBron James started wearing short, tight shorts. So now in the game now, the kids want to roll. I want to roll my shorts up, you know what I'm saying, and have my leg up. Now, and put it like this. If I buy these shorts that little, they wouldn't win. Because they can't roll them. But your trending athletes, change kids. Like, it's a trending. It's a trend. Like I said, LeBron James, that man's shorts are the tightest ever. And I'm going to tell you another guy that used to wear their shorts like that didn't get any love. Ron Artest been wearing his shorts that little. Mm-hmm. Been wearing them that little.
Uh-huh.
But yep. He never got the love. Like, I mean, these kids wanted to be like LeBron. I'm talking about they rolling their shorts three and four times. And trying to, you know, make a short. When I could tell them, well, I could buy a 5 or 6 inch and be fine. No, coach, we want a 7 or 8, and we're going to just hold them up to, you know, the particular style. But any trending athlete will be a role model. It don't matter if they're good or bad. It don't matter if they're good or bad. Any trending athlete. Allen Iverson had braids and tattoos. Before long, what happened?
Braids,
he started
tattoos.
Seeing braids and tattoos. Point blank. Any trending athlete. That's all I got. Go ahead, Lauren.
What Tremaine said about them shorts, I'm going to go ahead and hit on that because it's starting to become a little annoying. I got guys that, extra large, coat order a medium. For what? They like you got your little sister shorts on, man. That's the role model. It irks my nerves because I was playing. We wasn't rolling the shorts, but we wanted the shorts below the knees. We didn't want them to come up to our thighs. It's really out of control. Back to the role model thing, I think you should be a role model in a certain extent. So when I say that, I should be a role model to see how I'm doing my business, how I'm conducting business, how I'm carrying myself on and off the floor. Am I acting a fool? I shouldn't be a role model. If I'm a J.R. Smith, I shouldn't be a role model. If I'm a Derek Fisher, maybe I should. It's really how that the player carries himself. Everybody want to be like LeBron, but everybody doesn't have a LeBron mind. Everybody can't be like LeBron. Everybody won't be like Steph Curry. Everybody don't have a Steph Curry mind. So when it comes to the role model, I would just say, you know, don't try to idolize people. I have kids now. I had a guy last year, coach, I want to wear 30. For what? I'm Steph Curry. I shoot like Steph Curry. Man went 7 for 40 from the 3-point line. Talking about Steph Curry. That's what I'm saying about idolizing. We got kids shooting 7 from 40 from the 3-point line. He look at me and shrug his shoulders. Like, I don't know what happened. I do. I know what happened. You're not Steph Curry, right, man. You're not Steph Curry. We got kids growing up in a time where they're trying to be like the next man instead of just being like themselves. I'm pretty sure we got guys coming to the NBA this year who could care less about idolizing anybody. They're trying to be themselves and create their own path. So I think that's what we need to teach the kids, just be yourself, and people are adapt to what they want. This is life. So that's all I have on that one.
Let me tap in. Can I?
Go ahead.
Let me tap
go ahead
in
on, Trey.
Right there.
Go ahead
too.
On, Trey.
I caught some Lauren said. And I'm going to say with the athlete these days, as far as what Lauren said, players idolize. They usually idolize a guy they can't do anything like. That's what I see. I have a kid that's probably 6'4" in eighth grade thinking he a point guard. You know what I'm saying? He idolizing, like Lauren said, Steph Curry. I said, sir, you're 6'4". You need to look like Kendrick Perkins or somebody. You know what I'm saying? Do what they do. Watch and see what they doing with the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need you to do to win. But the kids, and I blame that on the NBA, because the NBA is built on players able to do everything. It's built like that now. I don't know what it is. You don't have this, like I said last week. You don't have guys specializing in positions. You don't have a center. The only true centers in the league is probably about 2 or 3 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 or 3 true
exactly.
centers in the league. Everybody else can step out, shoot the jumpers. I remember days people couldn't even shoot. That was something. You got Bill Cartwright.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little jumper, but Bill Cartwright wasn't known for scoring. Bill Cartwright known for getting rebounds. Robert Pass. I sit up and watch the Celtics play back in the day, and I get sick just watching them play, and they're successful with the crap they used to do as far as guys specializing in what they do. Don't nobody want to play defense these days. Don't nobody want to be the defensive role. But you know why they don't want to play defense, Dr. Smith? Because there's no one in the league playing defense. It's no one known for defense. No one. LeBron might come block a few shots on the backside, but he's not known for being a lockdown defender. No one in the NBA is locking no one down. I look at the way Kyrie moved. Kyrie moved like a magician out there with the ball. But when he don't have the ball, he's running like he got 2 bad knees.
Too bad,
it's the way the game is. You know, the most explosive guys with about Derrick Rose, Westbrook. These guys ought to be locked down defenders. I mean, I can find a kid like him that just walking around the school that can check somebody, but don't nobody want to do that no more. Kids are so fascinated with, I got to dribble between my legs. I got to do this.
If you can't do that, just run down the court fast with the ball in your right hand. Score the basket. Those are keys that the kids are not paying attention to. That's what's spoiling them in the game right now. They don't specialize. If they can't do the everything everyone's doing in the NBA, they don't play. I have athletic kids walking around school that can't even do that with a basketball. Just fumbling and bumbling because they don't want to focus. But they out there trying to go between their legs and shoot three instead of trying to, you know, I'm going to just play defense, steal the ball, lay the ball. But that's all I got on that situation. I'm sorry, I'm taking out
okay.
time.
No. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can call in, share your point of view. We'd love to have you share your thoughts on this discussion. But we're, you know, our time is running tight. Now, we again want to apologize from the beginning of the show. Well, we started off, had the great introduction, then we had some technical difficulty that a lot of us had to start the show over again and even had the music again. But that's what happened. When things are trying to knock you out the air, knock you out the way, you just keep on grinding. And that's my hashtag keep on grinding. Let's move to spring football. And I want us to share some thoughts. We won't be long on it, but spring football, any storyline that each one of us have which that occurred in the last 4 weeks when it had some games played, some spring games. We have some spring games coming up this week and next week, but just in a storyline. Coaches, y'all can share some thoughts in regards to a storyline, whatever it may be.
Y'all want me to step in? I got us all. I know some people ain't going to want me to guide us all, you know, because watching this, I watched this scrimmage for the Alabama Crimson Tide, man. That quarterback position looking kind of shaky, baby. It's looking kind of shaky. My guy had 20 snaps out of 130, 143 total yards. I set up and watched the play-by-play. Jalen Hurts was struggling, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
He was struggling, Dr. Smith. I'm going to just leave it like that, man. He was struggling. Okay. But on the other hand, Alabama's getting hindered by the injury bug this spring. We have two receivers out right now. Jerry Jeudy, Tyrell Shavers just went out with a toe injury. That's the other receiver. He just went out. So we're kind of short at the cornerback position. The guy that caught the touchdown in the national championship game, he's playing both ways. He's playing a little bit of cornerback now. So I'm trying to see if we're waiting on somebody to come this summer with that or whatnot. I know we got a couple of cornerbacks from the recruitment, but we're short at the cornerback position. But Auburn, they didn't look bad. I'm going to say this. Auburn defense will be a problem this year. I'm going to say that, and I'm not an Auburn fan. Their defensive line, their defensive front seven will be a problem this year. As of right now, from what I saw, I'm going to wait till I see A-Day on the 21st. Auburn has the best defense I've seen in a minute as far as that front seven. And I don't know if it was just because they were playing each other, Dr. Smith. You know, I know that's when they come into play. But they look real good against each other, real dumb. That's all I got from the top two teams in the state.
Okay. All right. Coach Smith, you
want to
join in? Coach
Dara? Yeah, I'll go ahead and go. You know, one thing that bothered me the other day, I know people say, well, it's just a spring game, but still, man, don't get on TV with the reporters and say, well, we don't take the spring game that serious. Come on, man, fans come out to watch. It looked like it was five people at the Army Auburn scrimmage Saturday. I think that was their official, like, A-Day game or something like that. The man got on camera and said, we don't take the spring game seriously. What, sir? You had one of the most embarrassing seasons, and you don't take the spring game serious? Come on, man. UCF claimed the national championship on y'all, and you don't take the spring game serious? They said, Auburn should have, I don't care who was back there, quarterback. I don't care if Jeremy Johnson came back and was quarterback. They still should have took the spring game serious. He still should have said that. I had people that were there. They said, man, the defense look good, but we still ain't got no receivers. Come on. This a repeat of last year. You still going to claim national champions again on Auburn. I'm calling it now. I see it. I see it in my future. I'm Miss Cleo. I'm rubbing the ball. I see it.
Cleo. All right, Miss Cleo. We hear you, Miss Cleo. All right. If any other discussion, you know, remember now you can call in 347-857-4192. And we're going to kind of wrap this up because we're down about 5 minutes now. And this is the last thing we want to talk about. We're going to talk about some pro ball with the NBA. Which team is most likely to get knocked out in the first round of the NBA playoffs? Golden State without Stephen Curry, or Boston without Kyrie Irving? We know Kyrie is out for good, so we're going to use the first round. Let's get some thought on that because we got about 5 minutes left on our time frame.
Shoot, I'm going to go with this. I think Cleveland is in trouble. Cleveland is in trouble to me. Being in that four spot, I think they're in trouble. They'll play a I know they're in the four spot now. I don't know where they'll be by the end of the season. Because if Philadelphia slip up, they'll slide right back into three. But as of right now, I think they will have a heck of a first game. I just don't think they're good as what we think. And the lack of experience right now as far as the playoffs, I think they'll be in trouble. I think it'll be a struggle. And the blame will be put on the youth of the team. That's just me. But as far as the West will go as scheduled. I think those teams, the Warriors still would dominate in the playoffs. They still would get deep in that playoff without Stephen Curry.
Okay. All right. Coach Smith, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I agree with Coach Edwards. Cleveland is in a lot of trouble. They in some hot water and boiling real fast. They said the trade was going to help. I knew when they did it, I knew it was the dumbest thing they could have ever done. That's not going to help. You got guys on the roster who haven't been to a conference final. You got Jordan Clarkson ain't been to the playoffs ever. So now you got that youth, like Coach Edwards said, and you got it going up against that East. So either you're going to see the Greek Freak, Joel Embiid with Ben Simmons. I'm not putting it past the Heat to beat them. At one point, the Heat could get out the first round. I don't put it past the Heat to beat them. So the Celtics, I personally never saw the Celtics going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So that was a done deal. I never saw them even being in the finals. But the West is going to be the competition because I think right now they have Golden State playing OKC first. So that's going to be a very interesting first round game because I don't believe Quinn Cook or Sean Livingston can contain Russell Westbrook for seven games. I said seven games. I did not say the whole a game. I said seven games. It's hard to play somebody for seven games. So that's why I am with the NBA playoffs. It's probably going to be Golden State. I'm got people on the internet. Golden State in six.
Okay. And that's awesome. What we're going to do now, well, both of y'all is kind of there. I had to leave, but he dropped offline. But we're about to close it off because we've got about 2 minutes. Any thoughts you want to share and saying your farewell to our audience and to our listeners? Share your thoughts right now.
Yeah, farewell to our listeners tonight. I want to give some shout-outs. Basketball-wise this year, 7A Player of the Year, Trendon Wofford. 6A Player of the Year, Kyra Lewis. 5A Player of the Year, Kobe Bryant. I'm going to give y'all the top threes. That was the top threes, baby. Hey, Kobe recognizing Lee Huntsville real high. Let's go. But with that said, can't wait till the 21st, A-Day. Ready? That's all I got for you, Dr. Smith. Tremaine, that was checking out of here.
All right. Coach Smith?
I'm glad he brought up the Alabama Player of the Year because we got somebody down here that did exactly what we wanted to do when it comes to girls. The Poirier Broughton run 7A Miss Basketball, so she was basically 7A Player of the Year for girls basketball in the state of Alabama. She kept it in the city 3 years in a row, Jasmine Walker. You had Bianca Jackson, now you got Victoria Bryant. I'm pretty sure 7A probably go back up north. So good night, everybody. Be cool, be breezy.
All right, then. Yeah, that's awesome, awesome. We thank you. Join us next week on Monday night. We're talking real to you at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Also on Wednesday night, join us as well. We'll have some hot topics next week. We're down to about 30 seconds. And as we were saying, this is some California love, and we want to just want you to hear this and say we'll have a wonderful night. Look forward to talking to you next week. Have an awesome weekend. Take the weekend. Don't let the weekend take you. Have a great night.
Now let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest, like a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb and pimp be, the state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp be. On a mission for them greens, lean, mean, money making machines, serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes, ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me diamond. Looking like I'm Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California, yeah.